Battalions of the Yukon. It's King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the North Country, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers. Gold discovered in the Yukon, a stampede to the Klondike and the greedy race for riches. Now back to the days of the gold rush, when Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog King battled through storm and snow to preserve law and order as they met the challenge of the Yukon. It was almost midnight when Jeff Moore returned to his small cabin near the outskirts of Moose Crossing. As he entered, a big gray dog was there to greet him. The dog had the slanting eyes of a wolf, and many of his characteristics were more like a wolf than a dog. His loyalty to Jed, however, proclaimed his dog heritage. Jed was Lobo's dog, and no other man could touch him.
Well, Lobo, fella, you should have been with me tonight.
What a night!
We're rich, old boy. Look at the gold I won. Lady Luck was sitting right on my lap. One, two, three of them. It's a fortune, Lobo. Where is it?
What's wrong, Mike?
You don't have to worry about Jeff getting conscious. I must have hit him too hard. He's dead.
Dead?
You're right, Drake. We've got to get out of here fast. Something with his money.
I don't want any part of this, Mike. I'm leaving.
You're going with me, Drake. You help me fix them marked cards. You're in it, too.
I don't want any part of a murder.
You don't come. I know you'll squeal.
No, Mike. I won't.
Look at that gold here on the table. There must be as much hidden in here somewhere. We can take enough supplies right out of this cabin and get a good start tonight. Chances are they won't find Jed for a few days. That mountain won't come here.
If he leaves town without finding out, we'd have a chance. He won't be back here for a couple of weeks.
He'll never have a chance like this again. Now, let's take this money and skip. We'll shut the cabin up, and people will think Jed's not worth his claim.
We ought to shoot that dog.
No. Everybody knows how fierce he is. Nobody ever comes in this cabin if Jed ain't here to change him first. It'll keep people from finding Jed.
It looks good, Mike. I'm with you.
Fine. Now, come on now. We're going to look this cabin over and see if we can find the rest of Jed's money.
He's got plenty.
It was almost morning, and Mike and Drake struggled through huge drifts that had been made by a strong wind and heavy snowfall through the night. Drake was exhausted.
I tell you, Mike, I can't go any farther. My legs, I can't lift them.
I'm tired, too. But this weather is the best luck we could have had.
Mark, are you crazy? Float us down. These snowdrifts, we've only made about 10 miles, but nobody can track it.
These drifts, I've walked in sand. The wind blows snow and I crack right after we make them. There won't be any cracks near this cabin,
but I can't go any farther.
Hey.
There's a cabin out there off the trail, huh? Think we better risk it?
There's no smoke coming from the chimney. Maybe nobody's home.
Yeah.
Now listen. Better if nobody knows where to get it. You hide behind those trees. I'll go alone to see if anybody's there. If there is, you wait a while. And come in and say you came from the other direction. They don't know each other, see?
All right. I'll wait here.
Anybody here?
Nobody here.
Hey! Okay. Yeah. Come on, it's all right. Nobody's here. We'll hold him here for a few hours and get some sleep.
It was late the following morning when Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police started to leave Moose Crossing to complete his patrol back to Dawson. Jules Leclerc, a French-Canadian trapper, accompanied him. The trail was thick with a heavy snowfall of the night before, and Jules and the Monty broke the trail ahead of the door. King, Sergeant Preston's big lead dog, was hitched up ahead of the team to lend his strength to the straining animal.
He's lucky I can go with you, Sergeant. You carry fat and snow like this before and we'll be back.
Always glad to have company, Jules. Maybe we won't get very far today, though. These trips are bad. Quite a snowstorm we had last night. Jules, is that a dog howling? Listen.
Ooh.
Sounds like it's coming from that cabin just off the trail there.
That's Lobo. He's dead Moore's dog. Dead leaves him in the cabin. That dog sees mostly wolf.
Jed Moore. Well, I hadn't seen old Jed in a long time. I got to the Silver Slipper last night. They said he'd really cleaned up at Boulder.
Oh, wee. Last night he was very rotten.
Wonder why that dog's howling so.
Maybe he not like to be in a cabin alone.
But he can't be alone. Look, there's a big snowdrift against the door. Jed couldn't have left the cabin. Maybe something's wrong with Jed.
Wait, if you are smart, Sergeant, you will not go in the cabin with Lobo Roots. Jed will kill you first when someone comes. That dog will tear you in little pieces. I'm
going to knock on the door anyway. See if everything's all right.
Okay. Maybe Jed will not go home last night.
Won't do any harm to find out. Wait here, Jones.
Be careful, Sergeant. That dog is very bad.
I'm not afraid of him. Dad? Dad, you home? Dad, get me up quick. Dad? Dad? He's dead.
Sergeant! He's
dead
here?
He's no trouble, Jones. Please come in.
Dead. Something has happened.
He's dead.
Dead? That's right there.
That is why Lobo wowed. Somebody killed him. He was hit over the head with that chair.
Yeah, Look, this cabin. Everyone's seen a fish.
Yes, it's been searched. They were probably looking for Jeff's money.
We had lots of last night after that poker game.
Oh, this is odd.
What do you see?
Jeff must have been playing cards. Look. Right there in his hand. Three cards.
No, don't try to get them cards. They are too near Lobo. He will take your hand off.
That's why the killer couldn't get them. Pick up the rest of it, I could see.
You think maybe them cards, they belong to the man who killed Jeff?
Yes. I have to get those cards.
Don't go near that dog.
He won't hurt me. He knows I'm not afraid of him. Get back, Lobo.
Them cards, they are Tony Cutter.
Have you ever played with these cards, Jules?
No. I don't gamble.
Well, the only clue we have. No covered any trail the man might have made, but I think he left town.
Why you think that, Charlie?
Well, look at those empty shelves. Whoever did this took all the supplies Dad had, as well as his gold. Jules, I think you're going to have to go on to Dawson alone, after all. I'm going back to town and see if I can find anyone who recognizes these playing cards. And I'd like the kind they use to fill the slipper.
Oh, Sergeant, them fur I have, they can wait for trade. Jed is good friend. Me, I say, and maybe help you, eh?
Mr. Crowfield, you know this country around here very well. I'd like to have you with me. Oh, you better get Jed's body over on that cart,
please.
And I'll go back to town and see if I can pick up any information.
In the meantime, Mike and Drake, exhausted from their trip through the snow the night before, slept in the trapper's cabin. Michael Wolf has a good dog team outside the cabin.
Drake, wake up. Wake up. The trapper owns his cabin at home. Are you awake?
Yeah, I'm awake now.
Now, listen to me. We don't know each other, you and me, I mean. We came in here last night at different times and haven't seen each other before.
Yeah, that's what we planned it.
We're going in opposite directions when we leave. You leave before I do and go toward Moose Crossing. Make a circle and wait for me at the next bend in the trail. You know what I mean?
Sure, I know.
If we're followed, it'll help to have them think that they're after one man and then two. Better if nobody connects us. We'd be too easy to identify then.
Yeah, that's the rest of us.
Now, here he comes. You better be sure.
Yeah. Good morning. Hope you don't mind me using your cabin last night.
Yeah, out of bed. That's what it's for. Fact is, I'm mighty glad to find the fire going. Is your partner?
No. I was just about asleep when he came in. Dawn caught him just the way it did me. He was coming from the other direction.
Well, I suppose you want to turn in, don't you?
Yeah, not right yet. I'll get this cart off, and I'll have a cup of hot tea first. Yeah. I'll get the fire stirred up.
I hear somebody say tea.
I sure did. You talked too loud.
I'm glad you did. I got to get the Moose Crossing.
Yeah. That fire be going full blast,
eh? Yeah, it is cold in here. Will you hand me my parka, mister? Sit on a chair beside the stove.
This one?
Yeah.
Sure. There you are. Now look what I did. Picked it up wrong and stirred your playing cards out of the pocket.
Oh, I'll pick them up.
Yeah, yeah. Up yet. Oh, not any good anyway. It isn't a full pack.
Guess I better be getting on the way. Full day of trip, Moose Crossing.
I'll fix some tea right away. Yeah. Here you are.
Oh, thanks. I can use them to start campfires. I hope this snow stops pretty soon. Good hold them in now.
Buck and Preston left Jules at Jeb's cabin and went back to the Silver Slipper Cafe. Only a few men were in the place, and Barney, the bartender, looked up in surprise as Lamar entered.
Sergeant! I thought you said you were pulling out early this morning.
I intended to, but it's some information I want first, Barney. Have you ever seen anyone playing poker here with cards like these?
Mm-hmm. No. Nope. Ain't like the cards we have here at the Silver Slipper.
Ah.
He plays all the playing cards here every night. We don't let people play with their own decks. Too much chance to trouble.
I see.
There's Jim Riley over there, though. He could probably tell you something about it. He'd rather play poker than me.
Oh.
Here. Hey, Riley. Come here,
Riley. Well, hello, Crossing. How are you, Riley?
Hey, Riley. You play cards with just about everybody in Moose Crossing. Did you ever see these before? The colors sounded different.
Yeah, let's see it.
Yeah. I'll say I did. Almost lost my shirt that night. I remember him because I said maybe this was my unlucky color.
Who shirt were they?
They belonged to Mike Ellis. I played at his tavern last week.
You were a friend of Mike?
I know him pretty well. I stopped at his tavern this morning to get back some snowshoes he borrowed. He wasn't there.
Uh-huh. What's Mike look like?
Well, he looks like everybody else, I guess. He got a black beard that covers most of his face. He's not blonde, he's not short. I don't know.
You remember anything more about him, Bunny?
That's about as good as everything, Shaggy. Wait a minute. I don't know if this is help, but I saw him draw a tattoo mark to a man at the bar the other night.
Oh.
It was on his left forearm. I looked at it, too.
What did it look like?
Well, he's got a big snake tattooed around his half naked elbow.
Thanks, Barney. That'll help a lot.
Why do you want all this information, Sergeant? You can probably find Mike around here somewhere.
I'm going to look for him here, of course, but I don't think I'll find him in town. Ted Moore was murdered last night.
What's that, sir?
The owner of these cars was the one who murdered him.
Sergeant Preston spent most of the day searching for Mike in the town with no result. At the end of Jed's cabin, Jules was eagerly waiting.
You find out something, Sergeant?
These cars belong to Mike Ellis. He's the one we want.
Mike Ellis. I don't know him.
He didn't have a very good reputation. Made his living gambling with Mike's cars.
Well, what we do now, Sergeant?
Well, Mike makes his living gambling, as I said. I doubt that he's headed for the wilderness. He wants to get to a big town, and that would mean he'd take the trail south.
This trail that goes past his cabin?
Yes. We'll try it anyway. That's all we can do.
What about his wood dog? Is that him, too?
Yes, I'm taking Lobo. I'll hit him up with a chain.
Be careful, Sergeant. I think maybe I wait outside. Or maybe right here by the door.
No worries, Joe. He'll be all right. Come on, Lobo, old boy. You're going to...
It's better if you shoot him.
He'll get used to me. Right now, I'm going to muzzle him with a throw. That's better. Now, I'll unleash you.
I think I'll go outside.
Come on, Lobo. You're coming with me. Come on, Lobo. You're tough, old fellow, but I think we're going to be friends.
As Sergeant Preston had anticipated, it was King that trained Lobo to pull in the traces with the rest of the team. The wolf dog was afraid of King, who was larger and stronger than he, and he was soon following him peacefully, as did the rest of the dog. It was late the following day when the Mountie and Jules approached the cabin of the trapper where Mike and Drake had taken refuge.
There he's coming.
You stop here? Yes, I think we'd better. Hope we have more luck this time than we did at the other cabin. Mike must have traveled all night if he came this way.
But if this man has not seen this, Mike, you think maybe we'd better go back and scout some other way?
Not yet, Jules. We'll keep on traveling. I'm almost sure he came in this direction. Good evening. I'm Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted Police.
Glad to see you, Sergeant. Come in. I'm Pete Morris.
And this is Jules LeClerc, Chief.
Sit down. Make yourselves at home. You like some hot tea?
Why, you can't stay that long, thanks. I'm trying to find out if the man I'm after is taking this trail. Have you seen a man with a bushy black beard, all about medium height?
That's crazy. I've seen three or four like that.
Yes, I know. It's not a very good description.
Was he a trapper? I talked to a couple of them.
This man was... Well, I guess he was just a gambler. He wouldn't know anything about trapping.
A gambler, you say?
Oh, you cannot tell by looking at man if he's playing cards.
Yes, I guess he did have a black beard.
Oh.
Well, yesterday morning, I came home early from my trap line. I would have got back the night before, except for that bad snowstorm. When I came into my cabin, there were two men sleeping here.
Two men?
Yep. It turned out they weren't together, though. They left at different times and were going in opposite directions. One of them had a black beard, and he was the one who had the card.
Right.
It dropped out of the pocket of his partner. Would that mean he was a gambler, Mr. Kelly?
Could you remember what the cards looked like? Were they like this one?
I believe they were. I helped him pick them up. Yes, that was the color of them, all right.
Jules, we're on the right trail.
That way, Jules, how can that even luck?
Thanks, Pete. You've helped a lot.
Hey, if you're planning on catching him, you better hurry. He had a long start. There's no way of following the trail, either. The snow covered all the tracks. And anyway, a lot of people use this trail.
We'll get him. Don't worry.
Come on, Jules.
It was noon 2 days later when Mike and Drake approached the door of Spring Lake. The snow fell steadily, and Drake was limping.
Mike, let's camp here.
My foot's giving out again. I can't go any farther.
I know what we'll do. You can't sit at the edge of the lake. The rest for a while. I'll take the gun and go around the shore of the lake and try to get some rabbits or something.
Can you come back here?
No. Hey, look across the lake. You see that tall pine tree?
Yeah?
Well, give me about an hour. I'll go around the shore and do some hunting. You can cut straight across the lake and meet you there. I'll probably have supper with you by the time you get there. You stay fine.
That lake space across?
Oh, that's where it is. The only reason I'm going around it is to try to get some game. Now, you build a fire here and rest for a while.
You better build it before you leave. I'm not any good at stuff like that.
You get some blankets and build it yourself. Here, I didn't have any cards here in my pocket, and I didn't burn them all. You can light a fire with them. I'll carry the gold and most of the pack. Take your time and come when you're rested.
The snow has struck, and the setting sun breaking through the clouds threw long shadows on the trail as Sergeant Preston and Jules approached the shore of Spring Lake later that day.
Do you think maybe he might try cross Spring Lake?
He's lived around here too long to try that. Everybody knows about the warm springs in it. He wouldn't take a chance.
But Mike, he's not trapper. Maybe he don't know me.
He's talked to plenty of trappers and prospectors and moose crossing. He'd know all that.
Look, Sergeant. Someone has camped there. There's dead fire.
Let's have a look, Jules.
Yes, someone built a fire, all right.
Oh, and look. Track leads to the lake.
Wait a minute. Look at this, Jules. A half-burned playing card. Used it to start his fire.
We can drive the cards in the same deck.
Look at the color.
You're right. Mike is out here. But these tracks will lead toward the lake.
What a fool, isn't he? Jules, look out there about 100 yards. Is that a hole in the ice?
Oh, these tracks. They go right to it.
Come on, Jules. Going out there in the sea. Might be something.
Just stay here with the same thing.
Stay here, boy.
These tracks are very clear.
It must have started when it started snowing about an hour ago. You must have known how treacherous this lake is.
Oh, there's no doubt. We go through a hole in the ice. Look, them tracks go right to it.
That's all right, John. Find any tracks leading away from it. You can see them in the snow. I guess that's the end of my course.
This time, the mountain does not get his man.
Well, but he ended up the same. He'd have been hanged for murder if we'd caught him.
This may be better.
Well, may as well go back. At least we know that Mike's one murderer. We'll never kill again.
It was 2 months later. Sergeant Preston had been sent to the town of Selkirk, far south of Dawson City. The Monty stood at the front window of Sandy McNeil's trading post, talking to Sandy as they looked out at Sergeant Preston's dog team.
That's a fine lot of dogs you got there, Sergeant. Of course, none of them can compare to King lying out there in front.
Never was a finer dog than King.
That second dog is a big fella. He looks like a wolf.
Oh, that's Lobo. He has a lot of wolf in him.
Is he as vicious as he looks?
He used to be, but he isn't anymore, Sandy. I've worked with him a lot, and now he's one of the best dogs I have.
The words were barely out of the mouth's mouth when a man came toward the trading post. He passed close to the sergeant's dog team. And suddenly, without warning, Lobo sprang at him, knocking him to the ground and throwing the rest of the dog team into a snarling heap.
Hey, stop that dog and let me!
Lobo!
Lobo!
Sergeant Preston and Sandy whirled out of the store. The King was there before them. He leaped at Lobo, throwing him off the man, whose arm had been torn as he protected his foot.
Give him all the feet. Up to Sandy, when you see those great nuts.
I'll help you. Come into the
A few minutes later, Sergeant Preston, carrying his medical kit, entered the back room in Sandy's trading post, where Sandy had taken the man whom Lobo attacked. King had followed his master into the store and sat quietly beside the Monty as he took bandages and antiseptics out of his kit.
I'll put your parka right over here, Joe.
Thanks. I'm sorry my dog is tracked, Joe. Can't imagine why he did it.
I was just walking past. Not even looking at him.
Now, roll up your sleeve. Over his left at all. That wound's bleeding.
You sure gave him a nasty bite. You'll have to play cards with one hand now, Joe. There's a customer. Call me if you need anything.
What are you sticking your arm? There it is. What?
What's the matter?
Why, that tattoo mark, it startled me.
Makes head points right at the tear in my arm. It does look ugly. I'm glad that fight is on my left arm instead of my right.
I'll have to watch Lobo after this.
Lobo? You mean that's the dog's name?
The dog is bitten?
Yes, why? Did that man frighten us?
No, I... kind of sleeping, I guess.
Mike?
Yeah? My name's not Mike. It's Joe. But the idea of calling me Mike...
You'll answer to it without thinking. You're Mike Ellis.
What? Like, what? What do you mean?
That explains why Lobo attacked you. You murdered his master, Jed Moore.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You shaved your beard off, but I think if I take you back to Moose Crossing, you'll be recognized. You're under arrest.
No, you don't. Pick up your hands. Get up, Mike.
You shouldn't have pulled a gun with my dog watching.
What's going on? Is he attacking too?
This man's a criminal, Sandy. He killed the man who once owned Lobo. You fooled me, Mike. I thought you were dead. But you didn't fool Lobo. He remembered your scent.
That doesn't prove anything. You never saw me before.
The only thing I knew about you was that you had a snake tattooed on your left arm. Lobo helped me find that, too.
But, Sergeant, why did you think he was dead?
Mike can explain that, I think. Who was it that went through the hole in the ice, Mike?
It was Drake, a friend of mine. He was the one who done the killing.
It was him.
He fell through the ice and we were crossing the lake.
That's enough, Mike. You didn't cross that lake. There's only one set of tracks. I warn you, anything you say will be used against you. You're under arrest for the murder of Jed Ellis. Yes, King. This case is closed.
The Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature, is a George W. Trendle production, directed by Fred Florida and written by Mildred Merrill. The part of Sergeant Preston was played by Paul Cutton. All names and incidents used are fictitious. Listen again next week to another exciting adventure during the days of the Gold Rush. Fred Ford speaking. This program came to you from Detroit. Saturday night, Joe, not on your life if you keep company with ABC. We've a lineup of shows to keep you entertained from early in the evening until it's time to go out and get the Sunday morning papers. For Mystery a la Mode, Ross Dolan Detective is on hand Saturday night. And when Ross seeks to solve a crime, it means 30 minutes of solid action and suspense. Speaking of suspense, wait till you hear a famous jury trial, the stirring courtroom program that dramatizes typical American jury trials. Then there's Gangbusters, with true crime cases straight from police files all over the country. Murder and Mr. Malone is another tense mystery that's bound to keep you sitting on the edge of your chair as that famous criminal lawyer, John J. Malone, tackles a case of murder. For smashing thrills from early to late Saturday night, be sure to listen when these great shows are broadcast over most ABC stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Well, sir, we not only run down the clock, we have run it over. We are running late, everybody. So I hope you had a good time tonight. I certainly did. And I'll see you all on the radio tomorrow night with old Tricky Rick, Rick Sapphire. He's going to be here tomorrow night, and so will I. And I'm going to be disappointed if you're not here. So let's have a date, okay?